If you will this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. These messages are not something that I have in reserve. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to my heart about this message last Monday, and I have looked at, I guess, five or six different sections, and the Lord just hasn't lit a fire under anything else. And so I'm going to go with this and wait on the next fire. Amen. When the Lord lights a fire under it and shows me what he wants me to do, I want to do that. But I began to look at this again last night and then again this morning. And I believe this is where the mail is for today. And it's a privilege. Brother Jack, he delivered the mail. He was a twofold mail carrier. He carried for the federal government, and he carried for the God of heaven. Now, I've never carried mail for the federal government, but I tell you, it's been a privilege these years to carry mail for the God of heaven. It's to be called a mailman. Amen. For the Lord. What a blessing. In Psalm 119, verse 113, that's where we're going to read. Say a little bit more probably in tonight's message about the letter Samech that we're looking at here. And some of these are hard for me to say, but they do have a meaning. This one is a pictogram of a circle. And I want to get into this message today. And I'll tell you, I sit in Sunday school when I feel like my heart is settled. And even I get to listen to the good teaching. It just seems like when you've got something on your heart, you're meditating. And it just seems like God just keeps building and building. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I like what Brother Brian said in Sunday school. God's book is a miraculous book. It's a marvelous book. It'll never get old to the children of God. Amen. I'll guarantee you that he spoke of Brother Wrightly. I'll guarantee you that in his last days, this book was still a precious book to that man of God. Only Brother Wrightly could say precious the way that he did. It was more like precious. Precious. And I was thinking the other day, don't tell anybody, but Brother Wrightly is one man that I never did say anything at all to about calling me Brother Ricky. I never said a word. I had that much respect for that precious man of God. Amen. Now, Brother Ralph, you start that. I ain't going to say anything, but I will hit you in the back of the head with something. Amen. When you're not looking. Amen. All right. Ain't God good? Psalm 119, verse 113. The psalmist David said, I hate. I could stop right there this morning. I want to read the text. But here's some of the things that just mauling up in my heart and in my mind this morning. We're living in a generation especially that thinks that Christianity is all about love. Stay with me this morning. We'll discover some things. But the psalmist said, I hate. And I believe before we get finished this morning, we're looking into God's word. We're going to see that a Christian really is not well balanced at all unless there are some things that he hates. Some things that he hates. And let's just read the text. He said, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I'm glad there's a but in the Bible, that B-U-T. In other words, you see the balancing act there? Now what happens, Brother Gale, lots of times, men or women, they get on a hobby horse and they ride that hobby horse all the time and there's no balance in their life. They hate everything, but they never learn to love anything. And then there are others that love everything and never learn to hate anything. But here in one verse of Scripture, you have I hate and I love. I hate and I love. The Bible said in the next verse, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes. For their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I'm going to say something. That's something that's missing in our generation. The psalmist said, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee. You can go up and down the road. You can go in and out of high schools and junior high schools, and there'll be stickers pasted up everywhere and bumper stickers that say no fear. When the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the psalmist said, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Brother Grizzle, I think that's what you were saying to me in the back of the church one Sunday morning when you said, preacher, I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat. A lot of people, they think that it's going to be a picnic. But I'm afraid it's not going to be a picnic when we stand before a holy God. I'm glad the blood takes care of my sin. But I'm going to give an account for my service. Are you listening to me? And so are you. A man told me last week I spoke with, and this man said, pastor, I need to step it up a notch. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I believe we could all stand to step it up a notch in the service of our Lord. Let's pray, and I'll get into the message. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm just going to drop the plow and plow. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we know that before we ever loved you, before we ever knew you, before we even knew about you, you loved us. Lord, when we were little babies, not even come out of the womb yet, Lord, you had your eye on us. And Lord, your heart was bent toward us. God, I pray this morning that in this message, Lord, that you would make something real to us. Lord, I pray today for the unsaved, God, that they would be stricken in their heart by the Spirit of the living God. And God, I pray today for everyone that is saved. Lord, that the same Holy Spirit would smite our heart this day, that we would understand, Lord, there are some things that we need to hate. Lord, we love you, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for your dear people that are gathered in your house today. Stir us, I pray, Lord. Don't let us, our Father, be dead and dry. Stir us up, our Father. There's a lot at stake. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to go ahead and give you the outline of these eight verses as the Lord gave it to me. The first thing I'm going to do is tell you the title of the message, and that would be One Man and His God. One Man and His God. By the way, there's coming a day when pastor won't be able to stand beside of you. It'll be you and your God. It'll be me and my God. It'll be a day when a teenager can't have mom or dad standing alongside of them. It'll be them and their God. There'll be a day when one-on-one we're going to face the God of heaven. I believe on that day there will be no more excuses. I believe His presence, His holiness, His righteousness will erase all such things in a moment of time. And so I want you to see in the message today five things in this text. We see a man hating. The second thing that we see is a man honoring. The third thing that we see is a man hiding. And then we see a man hoping. But then we get to the good stuff. We see a God that's holding. I'm glad, thank the Lord, this morning, many want to put an emphasis on how they got a hold of God. I tell you, I want to put the emphasis on how He's got a hold of me. Hallelujah. And we'll get to that probably this evening. But I want to look this morning as we start in the message on a man hating. Here's a man, he said, I hate vain thoughts. Let me say this. I believe David is speaking of his own thoughts. You say, preacher, how could you say something like that? Think with me just for a minute with a little bit of common sense. I don't know this morning what you're thinking, Brother Arnold. I can't hate your vain thoughts. Brother David, I don't know what you're thinking. I can't hate your vain thoughts. But I tell you what I can do. I can hate my vain thoughts. Because I know sometimes the thoughts, amen, that go on, and that they're vain, and that they don't need to be lodging there, amen. One man said it like this. He said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. Amen. Yes, the vain thoughts fly over. It reminds me it'll be time before long, Miss Eve, every year. You know, this is the difference between Miss Eve and I. I thought we could save a lot of money years ago if we just went and bought some artificial ferns. Just hose them down once a year, hang them back up. No, sir, every spring she's got to go get some ferns, and she's got to go get some Miracle-Gro. And she's got to water them. Then she's got to prune them. Then she's got to keep the birds out of them. How many knows what I'm talking about? They get in there, and boy, that's a good place to build a nest in the dry. And so she's got all that to do. Well, I'm glad somebody wants the real thing and don't want artificial, aren't you? Amen. But all I'm saying is this. David, my friend, he was not talking about somebody else. He was talking about himself. He did not imply that he was free from vain thoughts, but that he hated them. He hated them. Let me give you a thought this morning. Every action in our lives was once a thought. Do you know that we wouldn't have to hate so many deeds and actions if we just hate the thought process before it ever happens? That's what the Word of God is saying here. I hate vain thoughts. It's always easier to hate someone else's sin than to hate our own. Help me this morning. Somebody else's teenager's involved in this, but mine's not near as bad. It's over here. It's always easier to hate somebody else's sin than it is to hate our own. In Jeremiah 4:14, the Bible said, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from thy wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall vain thoughts lodge within thee? In other words, those vain thoughts had lodged within the people of God. I'll tell you this morning, we need to hate them and let them be driven out. Amen. I wonder sometimes, even in the house of God, in the course of an hour-long service, how many times, my friend, the enemy tries to get in and put stupid, vain thoughts in our hearts and in our minds and try to distract us from what God is wanting to say to us. Hate them. Proverbs 6 and 16. These six things doth the Lord God hate. Wait a minute. I thought God was a God of love. He is. I thought God was a God of mercy. He is. But I'm going to tell you, you can't be a God of love and a God of mercy without at the same time being a God of hate. Let me show you something here. These six things that the Lord God hate, by the way, I guess this qualifies to be hate speech. Help me this morning. There's some things in this Bible that God hates. The Bible said here, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one, my friend, has nothing to do with sodomy. Everybody, when they think of abomination, that's the first word that pops up. I'm telling you, God said he hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Oh, preacher, I just think your love everything. Not if you believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, there ought to be some things you hate. If we love God's Word, we'll hate what God hates. We'll love what God loves. The Bible said in Psalm 97 and 10, ye that love the Lord, listen, I'm just reading the Bible. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. That's what it said. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Listen to Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You can walk up and say, do you fear God? And a lot of people say, yeah. Do you hate anything? Well, I know. How many's with me this morning? Ye that fear the Lord. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. The froward mouth do I hate. By the way, you can go back over there, and I think it's in the book of Jeremiah. It talks about the sin of thy sister Sodom, speaking to Jerusalem. It didn't start with sodomy. It started with pride. They didn't need anything. We got it made. I'm going to tell you something right now. America has been on a downhill sled ever since America got proud of America and was no longer proud of the God of America and the God of heaven. We got ashamed of him in the school and proud of sin. Hate evil. The Bible said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth fruit, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. There's a man by the name of Thomas Manton. He's talking about our thought processes now and our vain thoughts. The sins that do most usually engross and take up our thoughts. Let me give them to you this morning. I'm going to agree. Why, preacher, would you agree with such a man? I'll tell you why. I've examined my own heart in my own life. I believe David, if he were sitting here on the bench, Brother Ralph would say, amen. Each one of these things. The first one is the sins that usually engross and take up our thoughts. First is uncleanness. Speculative wickedness makes way for active. In other words, I'll just say it like this. I believe David was thinking about something along line four. David done it. I believe his mind was made up. That's why when the servant came and said, it's not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. His thought processes had already hardened to the fact, I'm going to do it. I'm the king. And then after he did it, I'm going to cover it up. I'm the king. You know what happened? The king forgot about the king. The king of Israel forgot about the King of Glory. Uncleanness looketh upon a woman to lust after her. He's committed adultery with her already in his heart. There is the polluting ourselves by our thoughts. And this sin usually works that way. Let me say this to you this morning. Uncleanness. I'm going to make a statement this morning. I'm going to move right on. I'm not going to stay there long. A preacher said this years ago, and I believe it's right. David is not to be excused, but neither is Bathsheba. She should have pulled the shade. Somebody help me. Clothes are not designed. Listen to me. God wants us to be clothed that we might conceal our body, not reveal our body. God hates uncleanness. He hates it. You understand, I was listening to a radio program last week, and I believe I would have probably been 7 or 8 years old, so I don't remember a lot about it until I got in junior high. And in junior high, I won't tell you what I experienced in junior high in the middle of a classroom. It was bad. It was shocking what I experienced, what I saw. I didn't have anything to do with it except seeing it. But in the late 60s and early 70s, the theme was free love, free sex. How many knows what I'm talking about? You haven't been under a rock, have you? Oh, it's free. Let me tell you something about a nation right now. We're paying the price for what they thought was free. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The second thing was revenge in the thought processes. When we dwell upon discontents, they turn to revenge. Purposes of revenge are most sweet and pleasant to the carnal nature. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. That is to say, is full of revengeful and spiteful thoughts. We say it jokingly sometimes. After this message, I don't even know if I'll say it jokingly again. But we say, I don't get mad, I get even. How many's ever heard that? I don't get mad, I get even. I've said that jokingly many times in my life. Really, after preaching what I preach today, I don't even think something to joke about. We got no business getting even. Somebody said, remember, when you're throwing mud, you're the one that's losing ground. Amen. Somebody else said, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. People that are walking with God know they can't afford it. They can't afford a piece of their mind. Thirdly, not only uncleanness and revenge, but the third thought process. David said, I hate vain thoughts. One man and his God is envy. It is a sin that feeds upon the mind. The songs of the women, you remember, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Instead of Saul jumping up and saying, glory to God, God has sent us some help on the battlefield, he got jealous and envious and set out to kill the servant of God. Envy. Envy is an evil disease that dwelleth in the heart and betrays itself mostly in the thoughts. Fourthly, pride. I don't know about you. Maybe there's not another individual in this room. Brother Randy, maybe you've never fought this before. That's true. I'm being honest. But it seems like to me, and it's getting easier as I go along, because I've had my legs cut out from under me now enough times to know. You can either kneel
because it's the right thing to do and because you want to. God said, I'll just cut them legs off, but you will kneel. You will bow to my will. You are my child. But listen to me. You can be in the middle of God's work, doing God's work, God's way, and God blessing up one side and down the other. Brother Gail, you can even be a teacher like you have been for years and years. Brother Brian, a great teacher. Let me say this, and if you're not careful, God's a blessing, and people are saying, boy, I'm enjoying that, and thank God for that, and there's nothing wrong with all that. But I tell you, there's something wrong with it if it begins to make us airy little bit proud. Bible way. Let's just take it as a church collectively. I tell you what we better not do. We better not go out in Bloomingdale and go out in Kingsport and go out in the school systems and go to the job and stick our chest out in pride. We better humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize it's God that's blessing us and helping us. If you want to see the blessed Spirit of God and the blessed presence of God and the blessed power of God flee this place, then just begin to get proud. We need to be exalting Him. These teenagers and youngins that are around here that need to be saved are never going to be saved while we exalt our stinking selves. We're going to have to exalt Him. Him that died on an old rugged cross. Him that's coming again. The Lord Jesus. Fifthly, think about this. Well, I just looked at the clock. I shouldn't have done that. Maybe there needs to be a veil like in the temple, stretched over the clock back there. I'm just kidding, Brother Richard. Amen. I try to be reasonable. I've got so much on my heart, it's unbelievable. I don't think I'm halfway through the first point. But there's a lot of people in churches that don't even know that God hates some things. And that don't even know that we're supposed to hate some things. Number five on the list is covetousness. It's nothing but vain musings and exercises of the heart. A heart that exercised with covetous practices. It withdraws the heart in the very time of God's worship. Their heart goeth after their covetousness. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. I looked up some things this morning. And just a few verses of scripture. What is covetousness, preacher? It's, first of all, let me just say this. There is a good sense in which we're to covet. A good sense. You said, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts. That's why I beg God to fill me with His Spirit. I covet that, Brother Larry. I covet that. I need that. I want that in my life. Covet earnestly the best gifts. But I'm afraid so many times covetousness is not coveting after the things of God, but rather the things of the world. That means to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or to possess in a bad sense. Let me just give you a few verses real quickly. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The Bible said covetousness, which is idolatry. That's what God thinks of covetousness. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Psalm 119:36, Proverbs 28:16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. I tell you why there's credit card bills that long when people's been married that long. How many knows what I'm talking about? debt that long when we've been married that long. Because somebody gets married, look, and mom and dad's been married that long and thinks they ought to have everything mom and dad's worked for 50 years to get in order to have it now. Coveting. The Bible talked about Jesus in Luke 12:15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Beware of it. Jesus said, take heed. Listen to me, boys. That's back yonder when they were walking in robes and sandals on dusty cobblestone streets. There was no such thing as a Rolex or a Rolls Royce or even a Buick. But in man's heart, ever since the beginning of time, there has been such thing as covetousness. No wonder David said, I hate vain thoughts. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:3, listen to this, they go hand in hand. But fornication, oh preacher, that's ugly. Yes, it is. And all uncleanness, that's ugly. Yes, it is. Or covetousness. I want to submit to you, listen to me carefully, that before fornication ever happens, I believe covetousness has already happened. Before uncleanness is ever happening, I believe with all my heart covetousness has already happened. There was some process that went on in the mind. Jesus, or Hebrews 13:5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know about you this morning, but I see a man hating. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. I don't know how to wrap this up this morning, except I believe the Lord showed me a while ago. I didn't know how far I would get. Let me wrap it up for you like this. You want to see what God thinks about pride? Look at the old rugged cross. Look at the Savior bleeding and beaten and nailed to an old rugged cross. You want to see what God thinks about covetousness? Look at the cross. You want to see what God thinks about immodesty and pride and immorality? Look at the cross. You want to see what God thinks about the liquor industry and the families that it's destroying? Look at the cross. You want to see what God thinks about pornography and the families and ministries that it's destroying? Look at the cross. It was there that Jesus died for that mess. The judgment of a holy God was passed on His holy Son. He hates sin. Years ago, I think it was Wednesday night. Was it Wednesday night? I was talking about the railroad trestle where I walked across with Dad. Was that Wednesday night? Way up there at Deer Creek. That water way down there. Water probably wasn't a foot deep. It was a little rapids running under it. But in that same little park, they had a sign up. And it had a little wooden box about that high off the ground, a sign coming up the back of it like this. And it had a, Brother Johnny, a little wire top on it. The little wire mesh was about half inch squares covering the top of it. Oh, it intrigued me as a kid. I said, Daddy, look. And on the sign, it said, Baby Rattlers. And I thought, I got to see this. And I walked over there real easy. And I looked down in there. And it was two of them little things that babies play with. Baby Rattlers. I thought it was a snake, brother. But let me tell you something, Brother Rose. We're living in a generation that needs to know those things that they're playing with, they'll bite you. They're not those baby rattlers where you can throw them down innocently and go on to a Tonka truck later. Uh-uh. When you play with fire, you're going to get burned. That goes from the pulpit to the pew. No wonder the psalmist David said, I hate vain thoughts. A lot of times we get to preaching and we say something about an ism or a religion. And somebody say, well, that just ain't right. I'm going to tell you what, if you knew where the people that are steeped in Catholicism are going to end up, you'd know that it's all right for me to hate it. If you knew where the people, where Brother Jim's going over there in India, where them people that's steeped in Hinduism, where they're going to end up, you'd say, preacher, it's all right. Just go ahead and hate it. Just go ahead and preach against it. Because, preacher, either the Bible's true or it's not. Either Jesus is the only way to heaven or it's not. Either there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun or there's not. If you've been around here a little while, I think you know which side of that fence we stand on. If you would I don't even want to say the town. I don't even want to say enough to where somebody could get on the internet and look it up. Because I don't believe God takes any pleasure in trying to expose someone else. But I know a pastor that I had great confidence in. And his eyes got loose for the secretary in the church. Good reason to have Miss Eve for a secretary. For me to have her. Amen. But listen to me. Listen to me. I would have never dreamed that. Brother Steve, that man could get up at any given time, even in a conference meeting, and just take a little New Testament to the pulpit and just share with us what God shared with him in his devotions that morning. And God was all over it. It would bless you. Oh, you say, preacher, he was just a fake. Is that what you're going to say about David? Somebody help me this morning. David wasn't a fake. But he messed up bad. And it cost him severely. And it cost this man of God severely. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're trying to say. Let me wrap it up like this. I got something written down here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. I'm afraid I won't get it exactly right. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, here it is. Watch your thoughts. Watch them. Because what happens to them? They become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your character because it will become your destiny. Brother and sister, you can say what you want to, but that's powerful. In finances, I've heard this. There's probably many ways to say it, but how many have ever heard someone say, if you'll watch your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves? How many's ever heard somebody like that say something like that? My dad said it like this. Well, we didn't have many pennies or dollars, but when I started driving, my dad would say, check the oil, son. The gas will check itself. Fair enough, right? You run out of gas, it'll check itself. No great harm. You run out of oil and you're going to blow the motor. No wonder David said, he didn't say, I hate vain, by the way. Let me give you something this morning. If you're not on board with this message yet, there's a reason. It's a reason because you haven't got yourself before the Lord. Because even Job, after all the argument, Brother Rose, with his so-called friends, I hope I got some better friends than Job had. Amen. After all the arguing with his friends, he comes down and he comes, Brother Brian, face to face with the God of heaven. And in chapter number 42 of the book of Job, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. He said, wherefore I abhor myself. You know what he's saying? In his presence, I hate myself. That's what he's saying. Listen this morning. We can get something out of this section. If we'll let God speak to our heart in those first two words, I hate. Brother Johnny, you mentioned it in the youth retreat. People that you grew up with that are nowhere to be found around the house of God. Brother Johnny, you have to hate that. You don't hate them. But no doubt, somewhere along the way, brother, something was able to pull their mind off in another direction from the direction that they've been trained. That's why I try to beg our kids when they go out of here and go to school and go to college to be careful, because I'm telling you, there's a bunch of infidels down there trying to drag that Bible out of your heart and out of your mind, trying to drag the old time way away from you. We better be careful. The psalmist David said, I hate vain thoughts. If you'd look at the divorces, if you could look last night at young people and adults alike, moms and dads rolling their sleeves up, sticking a needle in their arm, their lives being destroyed, their children suffering because of sin. And you could come to a place like David where you could say, I hate vain thoughts. I wonder this morning, what is it that's trying to destroy your testimony? What is it that's trying to destroy your children? What is it that's trying to destroy your life? Brother Houston, I think as Pastor often, what is it that's already set out to destroy our church? Oh, I know it's Jesus' church. But if you think that the enemy is going to stand idly by while God is doing a work, you're crazy. We need to do our best to keep him out of here. We need to be vigilant. And that begins with hating vain thoughts. Not me hating them in you, Brother Jeff, but me hating them in me. And you hating them in you. And Tim, you hating them in you. I hate. How many believe it's right sometimes to hate? To hate. To hate. But thy law do I love. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible. God, it's time now, Lord, that we open our hearts. God, I pray this morning. Lord,
Lord, I don't believe anybody ever gets saved till they hate. God, I can remember that night when the Spirit of God convicted me. He showed me what I looked like in front of you, Lord. God, I hated what I saw. It was pathetic, Lord. And to think, Lord, that even though you saw all that, you loved me. You went on to Calvary and died for me. God, I pray for that sinner today, Lord, that they would hate. I pray for that child of God today, Lord. Lord, they're not baby rattlers like the babies play with. Truly, they are poison, venomous serpents. Lord, the thief, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But you said, Lord, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Lord, I believe one of the keys, one of the secrets to the abundant life is learning to hate what you hate and to love what you love. God, our country's in trouble. Lord, the help that we need will not come from Washington. It will come from heaven. We need a revival in our land, Lord. Lord, I can remember reading and hearing about Billy Sunday and others, Lord, that blazed the trail hating sin. They hated what liquor was doing to the families, doing to the men. God, would you help us today?